morning.
Yes.
I'd like to call to order the Education Committee. And second on the agenda is the approval of the minutes from January 3rd.
Second.
Okay. Third is public comment.
We have to vote.
What's that?
We have to vote on it.
Oh, vote. Gosh, I need notes. All right, so we vote. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye, okay. Next is public comments. Do we have any public comments? No. Number four on the agenda is the update from Charleston County School District. We have Kate Darby with us today, so the floor is yours.
Okay. Sit right here, or do y'all want me to stand up there?
Oh, you're fine.
You're fine, exactly where you are, wherever you're comfortable. Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you for showing up today.
Sure, I'm glad to be here.
Happy to have you.
I did want to ask, I know John said he wants to hear what I have to say, but just to see if there is anything in particular while I'm here that you'd like to know about or hear about. Is there anything pressing for you before I talk?
I know on agenda number five, we're going to have a committee priorities, and we've talked, and I met Friday with the interim superintendent about a little bit, I know we have a great relationship, but improving that relationship with maybe, especially as rec department just ended, some of that rec space, and maybe you can brief us a little bit on the relationship where using kind of the Wando with the arts, I know with GM, using the, what am I looking?
The auditorium.
The auditorium and things like that, kind of where that was and where that is today and how we can kind of get that back as well, so.
Okay.
Go ahead.
One of the things that we had talked about as well, and we've been working with the Culture, Arts, and Pride Committee is those arts on the half shell, the oysters.
Okay.
And we had looked into, like, I think at East Cooper Montessori, there was a parent even that wanted to sponsor an oyster, but we have the oysters and we would like the schools to have them, and I think there was some kind of disconnect or of like getting permission of where to put them on the campus and who would, you know, if the kids' art class would do them and that kind of thing. So I just wasn't sure if there was anything that could smooth that path.
I can smooth that path for you. Yes, I will get connected. I'm sorry, did I take your spot? I will get that connected and make sure somebody reaches out to you to move that forward.
Okay.
Because that's a great opportunity. Do any of the schools have them now?
Moultrie has one by the farmer's market, but it was more associated with the farmer's market than it was, it's a local artist that has done it. It's not a project for the school.
Okay.
So I think it would be fun for it to be a project for each of the elementary, middle, and high schools.
Okay.
For their art departments to do something and have that displayed on campus.
Great, okay.
Hi, thank you so much for coming. I appreciate it, and thank you for setting this up, John. And I think my three main points of interest would be field usage, of course, SRO funding. I still find myself asking a lot of questions, you know, as to why is the town paying for extra SRO services at the schools? So if the schools need them, then to me, it seems like Charleston County should, you know, just pay for those SROs. And I know that they do work for the town when the school's not in place, but, you know, there's also an argument for how could we arrange that, you know, because schools paid those officers for after-school activities, so maybe there's a way to just tack those hours, and maybe they can have extra time off when the schools are out. But I think most important for me and stuff that I've been trying to find the history behind autonomy, like, you know, what happened to autonomy? I know when I first joined the district, autonomy was a big thing, something Ms. Beckham talked about a lot, but then at some point, autonomy went away, and I just,
yep.
I don't understand how that happened and how we could get it back if it's gone.
Okay.
Because it feels like it's gone, but.
I gotcha.
Besides that, you can talk about what.
I actually have one more thing.
Okay.
I have one more thing.
Yes.
Bullying on campuses. I'm in some of the mommy groups and on Facebook, and I've just seen multiple posts of kids who've been bullied, And then when it gets escalated, that there seems to be not much done, like the process to stop it from happening, okay. And everything is so, I know it's so stepped, but I think that there was concern of like nothing was the bullying was still going on to the point where it was like the parent was like, I'm going to tell my kid to just pop the kid in the face, right? If the kid comes at him again, and we don't want that. We don't want someone to feel so bullied that they're going to pop someone in the face. So, if there's a way to, if there's a campaign that the school district can do, I know bullying's more of a problem at some schools than others, but there's definitely a sense from parents, from the comments that I've seen of the moms, that that it's not as zero tolerance as it should be.
Okay, got it.
One last thing, John.
I feel like we have some time though.
I know. I just feel like we've given you so much that it fits. You know, you take this in and then we come back.
Sure.
And don't. No pressure.
Thank you for coming again. I feel so much pressure for other things. I promise you, I won't feel pressure today. So let's start just on a little bit of data that I just wanted to update you on. So D2, which is obviously also Sullivan's Island Elementary, has about 25% of the overall CCSD enrollment. We have approximately, because I don't have up-to-date information for today, but 14,000 students who live in the D2 zone, and 12,073 live here and attend here. So that means, I think the percentage is like 86. D2 has the highest percentage of live in and attend. Brenda's probably very aware of that from your experience. Some of those students are going to charter schools, either district charter schools or other charter schools. Last year we had 300 D2 students going to Academic Magnet, 140-ish going to SOA, and 64 going to Buist. And then there are others that are going to state charters and private schools and that kind of thing. So I just wanted to pass that along to you. Also, we are in the middle of our Phase 5 capital plan, and we don't have to discuss it today, but I hope that you all will talk about that when Mr. Barowi comes. You know, we've got some plans for James B. Edwards. And on a partnership side, the town of Mount Pleasant has been a fantastic partner. I have been on the school board for 7 years, and I have a 31-year-old child, and when he was in second grade, I got really involved in education advocacy at Mount Pleasant Academy, and then just kept going until I got on the school board. And we really set the town of Mount Pleasant's partnership with the district as an example of the kind of partnership we'd like to have with other municipalities. The other municipalities work with us on fields and stuff like that, but you know, the town invested $600,000 in Wando when we built it to have that performing arts center. The town worked with us on developing Whitesides, I think the best partnership we've ever had, and it goes back to that autonomy piece, is many years ago, Eric will probably remember the year because I don't, the town decided to have a blue ribbon committee because residents weren't really happy with the district at the time. We felt like we had these high performing schools and we wanted autonomy. We wanted to make some changes. The district was about to spend a lot of money on redoing Moultrie, Mount Pleasant Academy, eventually Lang. Parents wanted some input on what the future of our community looks like. And not to say anything negative about any other community, but in some communities they said, oh, we want to have little schools. So they have little middle schools and little high schools, small, and they aren't able to offer as much to their students. So we had this blue ribbon committee. Mr. DeMora facilitated it, and I co-chaired it with Rebecca Imholtz, and it out of that came recommendations about what we wanted school size to look like, you know, whether we wanted to have 900 student or 1200 student middle schools. We weren't quite at the point of the second high school yet. But the biggest piece that came out of that was autonomy. We wanted our high-achieving schools, which at the time all of them were, to have some autonomy from what we saw as bureaucratic and unnecessary stuff, like training. You know, you as a teacher, you may get some training 1 year, and then you've got to sit there through the same training the next year when you've already mastered whatever that curriculum is. And so we made recommendations on autonomy, on the capital plan and program, and then a little bit on teacher pay, and then on bus routes, because of course that was always an issue. And I remember meeting with Nancy McGinley at the time, and it was very productive, and we got that autonomy. But you're right, it has gone away. So that is something that we certainly need to look at. You know, I have really recommended that particularly the city of North Charleston do a similar Blue Ribbon Committee. I don't know that they ever will, but I think that where our schools are achievement-wise, engagement-wise from parents, we really should look at the autonomy piece. So I will take that back. You know, we have a new interim superintendent. We have somebody in the chief academic office who was not here when we did all of that. So I don't think that would be a too tough of a thing to accomplish.
Can I just for a second? So you guys know that the beautiful thing about autonomy is just not just training, but some of the mandates coming that other schools could definitely benefit from, but maybe would not be as necessary in our schools with our population. And I think it would be able to enable us to target what our kids need in, you know, because not everybody needs the same, not every school needs the same
right.
services.
Don't but need that cookie cutter kind of approach.
An yeah. example, even teacher observations, you know, some other schools mandate so many per month, and our schools, you know, that principal could choose to do however many, he or she felt was necessary in that school. So, but I appreciate it. Thank you.
Well, and that ties into another thing I just wanted to mention to you. I'm sure you've seen in the media the discussion about the Reimagine proposal. The federal government has provided a lot of money to all school districts to address COVID learning loss. Luckily, in Charleston County, we were able to get back in school face-to-face, fairly quickly. Our kids were only out completely virtual in March through June when the COVID lockdown happened. But then we were able to get kids face-to-face for the most part. So some people didn't want to go in school, so that we kind of phased that in. So there's all these ESSER dollars we've spent, some of it already, but we have a bunch left to be spent, and so different organizations have put proposals in. We have two really big proposals, one that's really specific to North Charleston. The Reimagine proposal has a number of different components, but one of the components would be that if we could execute this, it is not just with the ESSER money, because we frankly probably are not going to have to spend a lot of ESSER money in D2, but recognizing schools that are high achieving and going ahead and, you know, making some agreements with those schools so that their principal can decide the number of observations, that kind of stuff. So I hope that either through work that we can do, just working with the town and our schools, can address some of that, and it may happen as a bigger part of the work we do through that. One of the big pieces of Reimagine is getting community engagement and input. And over here, we obviously don't have some of the challenges that they have in other communities, but a couple of really pressing things are our growth, and we've got some places where class size may be a little bit bigger than what some people want. We know Beckham is going to be at capacity probably next year. And the district is planning, we bought property in Allendale. The plan there is to build a middle and high school, and for that school to be of a size that would really meet the needs of those students, we are probably going to have to make it either a magnet or a partial magnet or some kind of choice so that we have more than just the kids that are zoned for right in that area. So that's a community engagement piece that needs to be done for this area and that we've talked about.
Question. So one of the things is, even though the Mount Pleasant schools are overall high performing, there are still a percentage of students yep. that are struggling. And so I would just ask, please don't forget about those students when definitely. Apportioning funds to Mount Pleasant.
Yeah, definitely not. I mean, I know when I was the SIC chair at Wando, Lucy would remind me frequently that, you know, at that time, 28% of their students qualified for free and reduced lunch at that time. So that was the poverty indicator. And that was more students than we had at Burke and North Charleston High School together. So yes, there definitely are. We definitely do have students who are you know, do need that help, and we will allocate that as needed. The other nice thing about the autonomy is I think principals would say this, if we can have some autonomy from some of those things that we don't need to be doing that are just cookie cutter kind of things, is my example, then they can spend that time on those students who need catching up. And the new interim superintendent, our goal, part of the goal that they are working on is that we have all kids reading on grade level by fifth grade. Be nice if it was sooner, but they are working really hard on some plans to make sure that happens. Because if a child gets out of elementary school and is not reading, and we have students, I am sure, in Mount Pleasant where that is happening. So that is something that we're focusing on. So I've talked more than my 10 minutes.
That's okay. I mean, obviously, we need we need more of these meetings because it's very helpful. So I'm going to move on to number five, the discussion of committee priorities.
Yep.
So I think here maybe we can break apart and work with the school district on this. I know GM, you want to, you're on the arts on the half shell, and not 100% how this goes on, but you know, we discuss this and Brenda with the autonomy mm-hmm. section of things, do we want to work on things separately and then
come back and report?
Yeah, come back and report on this. And sure. Is there certain things that you would like to take on or you would like to take on?
Yeah, I just don't want to overstep. I don't want to
come across like we're trying to,
sure,
you know, just mandate or overstate. I just think that our parents are feeling a little voiceless, and mm-hmm. if this helps them to be heard to CCSD just as another level, I think that would be super cool. And I think autonomy would ease the, because I mean, I'm hearing a lot of people reach out to me about charter schools since my experience, and there's just a lot of interest in charter schools right now in the area when we have amazing schools. So what are those things that people are trying to get to that we're not providing? And I think anytime you can make, my opinion, anytime you can give that school accountability, mm-hmm. hold them accountable, but give them the authority yep. to make decisions that's best for them, you're improving education. But
so a couple suggestions. On the arts on the half shell, I don't know if, and I know you and I have talked about this before, but I think perhaps I should reach out to the person over arts for the district. I can have a conversation with her to see how can we make this happen without it making it hard for the schools to do. So I can do that and then get you connected there.
That's already funded? Funding's already,
yeah,
already there?
Yeah, okay. We get those every 6 months. There are more.
We also have a take the route that I'm working on getting trees to to the schools.
Yeah, I think
as
that's
well.
Great too. Okay.
So they can plant and take that information
okay.
home to
I
their
can
parents.
Do that.
So
on the autonomy piece, I'd like to do a little work on my end to find out who are the right people to kind of talk about that. And if we go the route with Reimagine where we're going to do community engagement in each zone, I think that would be a good way for, that'll come to the top. If we don't go that route, then we can work on another way of kind of engaging maybe some principals, parents, as you know, school leaders in that and see what we can accomplish. I know Mr. Kennedy and Carolyn Belcher both, she's the CAO, would be open to that.
We're also talking about with the field space and the art space, but I believe Eric and I are going to have a meeting with Mr. Barowie. And I just met with him as Friday,
yes,
as well. So you have the rec departments working on a referendum and stuff where there's plenty of fields on the CCSD side. And I don't know, you know, we want to make sure that if we're building things, maybe we could be in collaboration with CCSD and bring that back a little bit.
I think we could bring that back. I know, we've worked well on that, you know, in the past. I think one of the things that, which I don't know if Mr. Santos is in here because he'll get me on this one, but I think a challenge in Mount Pleasant has always been the rec stuff always needs the first priority, whereas we have other, like the city of Charleston, when we work together with them on softball field, whatever, the school will get first priority for, in certain time periods. So maybe a way forward might be, well, maybe it doesn't have to be you get priority or you don't get priority, but maybe based on what the sport is, the field is, what the needs are, we could figure that out where it best, you know, meets the needs. Because like things like tennis or something like that, where we're just going to need it after school for sure.
Right.
And then most of the people, maybe a lot of the people playing tennis might be playing during the day. That's a totally bad example. But so I think working with Mr. Barowie and I'm sure there is more opportunity. I mean, we've got the baseball field across from Beckham that we've talked about, and he's very open to working with the town on those things.
Okay.
So
excellent. Okay.
One other thing that just came to mind for me is, as my kids are, you know, all in public school, is that the booster clubs that support the schools,
mm-hmm,
especially in Mount Pleasant, are doing a lot of heavy lift. And I know I've seen the charts before where the per head spend on Mount Pleasant students is actually less than the per head spend on some students in the rest of the district. And what I'm wondering is there any way for a little more funding to come to Mount Pleasant so that, you know, the elementary school's not having to raise $100,000 to pay a part-time computer person and a part-time Spanish person?
So I'll be super candid with you.
Yeah, be
that.
Candid. Absolutely.
So the per pupil spend at the high school level and the middle school level is probably less than across the district. The elementary schools, it varies. I mean, it isn't that all Mount Pleasant schools we are spending less per pupil. We spend less per pupil, one, like at Wando, because it's so big. So we're spreading out those costs. When we closed Lincoln, I think we were spending $27,000 per student, and we were spending $6,500 per student at Wando. So that kind of depends. When I was not on the board, when I was PTA and SIC, I would, and the school said, oh, well, let's raise money for something. To pay a teacher. I said, you should never be raising money to pay for a teacher. That is the district's responsibility. And you've got to work with the district to get the funding if there's a real need for something. And sometimes people listen to that and sometimes they don't. So I agree with you. I think schools should be raising money to augment, you know, the activities. Usually at the high school, it's going to be more because you've got sports and travel and mm-hmm. band and all those kinds of things. But my personal opinion is you shouldn't be raising money to pay for a teacher. You should work with the up the line, your principal, advocating that you really need this and this should be part of your allocation. So I'm happy to work with whatever schools are doing that now and see what we can get included in the budget for next year.
Great. Thank you.
I think with that, we're out of time.
No, we can go over.
Are we allowed to go over?
Yeah, we're totally allowed to go over.
Why go over too much?
One thing I did.
Do you have anything else?
Well, one thing I did want to tell you, and you may have seen it on the news, the constituent board, who is responsible for zoning and for certain discipline things, recently has, Senator Grooms and Senator Campson have introduced a bill to add two people to the constituent board. Right now, we have five, and we have one, we have a seat from Sullivan's Island, and a seat from the Isle of Palms, and a seat from Mount Pleasant, and then at large. And it's hard to get always to sometimes to get somebody from Sullivan's Island and Isle of Palms. And some of the other constituent boards have seven people. And so I think our constituent board felt like, gosh, we're the biggest, probably the biggest constituent district, and we want to have two more members. So they have introduced that bill. I don't know what the likelihood is of it passing, but they've been working hard on that. So just FYI. And they will be looking at, you know, hopefully not doing any rezoning next year, but they may need to do some rezoning because, you know, Carolina Park is really full. And Laurel Hill is not as full as it's got some space. So just kind of a little update on the constituent board.
I think we have plenty to do.
Yes.
So we appreciate you coming out.
Sure.
Ms. Garvey, thank you very much. And thank you for the update. With that, any other items? Okay, with that, we're adjourned. Thank you.
Thank you.
Great, thanks. Thank you. And I'll follow up on what we discussed.
Thank you.
Thank you very much.
Good.
Excellent.
Thanks a lot for coming.
Thank you.